Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey man, this is the part of the episode where we're supposed to advertise my book.
All right.
So what do you think we should say?
I don't feel bad about it. It's not a shameless plug. It's literally your book. You've put a lot of work into it.
That's a good point. So you need to pick up a copy. And hey, here's the thing. If you buy a copy and you didn't like it,
right.
Drew said he'll pay for you to ship it back.
That's not what I said. At least an In-N-Out burger. I'll ship to them.
You'll ship them.
If it's on the East Coast, it'll be all spoiled, but it's fine. Hey, I'm in this book too.
You are. You're actually in this book. And I say some things that people don't know about you. It's going to be great. I tell some stories.
All right.
Are you?
Where can people find this book at?
Oh, that's right.
And what it's called.
Okay. So you can pick up this book.
Right.
It's called The Quest for Friendship.
The Quest for Friendship. Insert Galliant music here.
That really is what it is.
Right. It's happening right now.
The Idea Network publishing arm of our network has produced this awesome resource, and I really do appreciate it. It's exciting. It really is a discussion of friendship, and I want you to pick up a copy at ideanetwork.church in the shop tab. It's the very first resource at the very top. You can pick it up, and if you put in the promo code free shipping is yours.
All right.
Yeah.
There it is.
Go do it now.
The Quest for Friendship. Hey there, welcome to Idea Talks. Thanks so much for stopping by today. On today's episode, we have a very special guest speaker, and that is Robbie Green. He's going to be talking to us about the essentials in mentorship. This is session audio from an Idea Day that happened recently. To tell you a little bit about Robbie Green, here we go. Robbie Green joined the staff of Lavon Drive in 1997 as a pastoral intern and soon became children's pastor. Over the next 17 years, he served in the children's ministry and bus ministries and was promoted to the position of assistant pastor. In late 2014, Robbie was installed as a senior pastor of Lavon Drive. His extensive knowledge and love for children's ministry has made him a much sought-after speaker for children's ministry conferences, as well as a coach and mentor for children's pastors across America. Pastor Robbie and his wife Heather have been married since 1998. The Greens have two children, Matt and Julia. To find out more about his ministry, visit lavondrive.org. Without any further ado, here is Robbie Green talking about the essentials in mentorship.
Boy, this is a topic that I'm really excited that we get to talk about today. Working with Josh and Josh with the mentorship, this is something that is near and dear to me. So I'll tell you my journey. And so almost 23 years ago, I came on staff at our church and was going to be there for a year. That was the plan. I was an intern. I had just finished college, and I was coming for a year, and little did I have any idea that what God knew, and had no idea that I'd end up being the lead guy one day. I was about, and so let me back up. I became children's pastor, and then executive pastor, and then finally the lead pastor. And really, this occurred about 6 months into my being senior pastor. So we're going back now to 2013, when the former pastor retired. I followed a pastor that had been there 50 years and served the same congregation. He was Moses. And the first reality, I looked in the mirror and realized I was not Joshua. And so then we are in trouble. And so about 6 months in as pastor, I realized that I was in trouble. I realized I had hit my lid. John Maxwell talks about in the 21 Laws of Leadership, hitting your lid. And boy, I was there. And so for me, seeking out a coach, a mentor that could pour truth into me, that could give me what I needed to help get me to the next level. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I was at a place where it's like, if I don't get some help, if something doesn't change, like, I can't stay here. I'm not going to be able to continue doing this. Like, I'm going to be in trouble if something doesn't change here. And so it really even became to a place for me where I say money's no object. I mean, obviously money's always an object, but I'm like, if I can't get this figured out, I'm not going to make it here. And I was going through a personal crisis in leadership. I was going through a crisis of leadership at the church. I was having to go through, lay off some people that I knew did not fit our culture. I knew I was having to watch people leave the church that weren't excited about the young pastor coming in and taking over from the older pastor and going through all that. And I found a guy online and started reading his blogs and reading all the things he was putting out on his website. I was like, man, this guy, it's like he's sitting on the back row of my church. I mean, I really think he's flying to Dallas every weekend and observing what's going on in my church and going back home to Pennsylvania and writing about it on Monday. And then I found out he had a coaching, a mentoring. And so that began a journey for me that has been such an incredible journey, such a helpful journey. And really, I believe, was the beginning of something special. So I want to, this is not in your notes, and we're going to jump into your notes in just a second, but I want to just make this statement. Our movement, our brand, we are notorious for being known as wanting to get something for nothing. We do not like investing a lot of times. I will tell you guys, what you put into a coach, what you're willing to pay to put into something, and I think what the Idea Network is doing is great. It's a great balance. It's not going to bankrupt somebody to do it, and it's also going to be something that you have. If you want to receive value, you need to put something in to that. And so in the situation that I was in, this was hundreds of dollars a month that had to be invested into this coach to help get me to where I needed to be. Here is the problem that I found. When I was, so I asked several men. I remember the Sunday that I became the top guy, the lead guy. I've got 6 retired pastors in my church. I've got a whole, our church is a very well-known regional church. And so I had no shortage of guys coming up saying, I'd love to speak truth into your life. I'd love to help you and da-da-da-da-da. Here's the problem. When it's a volunteer basis only and that's it, can I tell you what happens? Nothing. Nothing happens. Because it's always good intentions and well-meaning, and either I'm too busy that week to make time for it, or the mentor is too busy that week to have time to do it. But all of a sudden, and the Idea Network's not going to be on this level, but all of a sudden when I'm having to pay $750 a month to a coach, like, you better believe I was there 5 minutes early, paper in hand or iPad out to take notes or whatever. I mean, I was there ready to go. And then when you're paying someone, you can expect that they're going to be ready to go. So I want to encourage you, when they introduce the structuring and how the pay part is going to work, this is much, this is reasonable where even anybody can afford it. But the reason for that is because if you're going to ask someone to add value to you, there needs to be an exchange that raises the bar, if you will, for a level of commitment. So that was free. That wasn't in your notes. We're going to jump into some things. I want to tell you there's a resource area on the very back page. The best resource that I can give you out of this is John Maxwell's Mentoring 101. Has anyone read that? That is a phenomenal book, and it's a little book, or you can get the big book that has all of his 101 books combined into one volume. But Mentoring 101 is a great book. I'm borrowing heavily from the resources that are in here, so none of this is really original with me. This is just stuff that I have found that is good, and I wanted to give to you. So what essentials do we look for in a mentor? You make sure, first of all, that it's not Josh Tice coming in the room, right? When man, I like, now I'm nervous now. Like, the man's here. I'm getting, like, this is the review now, right?
This is to decide whether or not you continue.
Well, I'll just go ahead and walk out now then. What essentials are you looking for? Because there was some things that I knew that I needed So everybody needs a different coach in a different area. And Josh Ermler spoke to this earlier today, and this is really good. You need a coach in different areas of your life. So at that particular moment in my life, I did not need a theological coach. I was very settled where I was theologically. I just needed a pastor that was successful, that had been there, that had done that, that had walked through these journeys, this path that I was on. So deciding what you're looking for. A mentor is a person that has been there, done that, goes the way, shows the way, and knows the way. That's what I was looking for in the person. And so I think this is so incredible because, boy, Kurt just parked on this last night, but this is so true. Who you choose to mentor, who you're going to allow. Boy, John Maxwell says this, be so careful of who you allow to lay hands on you. That is such a true statement. I interviewed several guys. There's a guy that has a very large ministry, and we were at an event together. I mean, he runs thousands and flew in his church jet and everything else, you know, this guy. And I had the opportunity to be mentored by him. Can I tell you something that I discovered very quickly? I'm not questioning his love for God, but it didn't take but 1 hour at dinner to find out that this guy's whole entire identity is wrapped up in his ministry. And so if his ministry has a setback, whew, like this guy is going to be in for a hard fall. If financially his ministry goes backwards, if numerically his ministry goes backwards. So that guy didn't make the cut, because what I'm looking for is a solid identity in Jesus Christ. That is where they find their self-worth. Because listen, there is no such thing as a perfect ministry. Okay, we all may have seasons where things are going great. We have seasons where things are not going as well. But their identity in Jesus Christ. There was a lot that was talked about that last night, so I'm not going to park there. Perseverance. Is this person that you're speaking into you, have they been around the block a few times? Like, do they know the path? Do they understand what's going on? That's why a David Tice, like, that's huge to me, because he's been in the ministry in one church for, what, 40-plus years now. That's huge to me. The pastor that I followed that served 50 years at Levon Drive, like, perseverance. That's like when the church was going great and the church was going down or whatever. Looking for someone that perseveres, looking for someone that has stood the test of time. Are they like a Paul in 2 Timothy? I love the statement, in order to finish well, one needs to start well and be intentionally focused on growing in all areas at every stage. One of the mentors that has served in my life, he's in heaven now, the Minyarth Meyer Clinic that was in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Meyer was a member of my church, and I preached his funeral 2 years ago now. One of the things that just blew me away, I mean, this guy was in his 80s, and he would come in and tell us, here's what I learned that's new. Like, he never stopped growing. When you find someone, look for somebody that's persevered, but somebody that has continued to grow, that just did not become stagnant, that did not just level out. I think that was the thing that was incredible to me. Dr. Meyer and I would do lunch periodically. He had Parkinson's, and so it got to the point that I would bring lunch to his house. But I remember he was so excited. He's like, I set up a Facebook account. He's 84 years old, you know, and he's like, I want to be relevant. And when I started wearing, when we went through a transition and I started wearing jeans on Sunday to speak in, which that was a big turning point. He comes in one Sunday morning and he's got the neatest pair of jeans with pleats and pressed perfectly. And he's like, Pastor, I wanted to just continue to grow in this area, you know? Like, I love that about him. He never, this guy was expert. He had written books. He'd co-founded a clinic. I mean, like, his resume is so impressive, but yet he never stopped learning. So the other thing that I put down was successful. I mean, are these people successful? I think you want to find somebody in your field that is, they've got a level of success. John Maxwell says this, who you learn from is as important as what you learn. Like, I think all too often when we think of mentorship, we are too quick to look at fads. I'm not against trends. I'm not against fads. There's some cool things. There's some great things. But you better be careful when you're looking at a mentor. What I define as successful is someone that transcends a method or a fad or a trend. Is this person successful in their area of field? Here's an idea. If you're the leader in your class, you're in the wrong class. So sometimes it's time. So that I realized as the leader of our team, the lead pastor, the whole team was looking at me. And if just in my context, nothing else, a lot of people would say I was, quote, successful. But then when I moved over into this role where I've got a mentor, and now all of a sudden I've got a mentor that's pastoring a church of 2,000 plus a week, and he's teaching me things that relate to my ministry, helping me basically to look ahead, teaching me to look further down the road. A mentor that's successful that helps you to think proactively. Boy, that's just a thought. How many of us in ministry, the average pastor spends most of his life leading a ministry reactively instead of proactively? A successful coach, a successful mentor will help turn that on its head real quick. Because I remember one of our first meetings with my coach, and we'll talk about some principles here in a second, but he was brutally blunt, and he said, Robbie, I want to congratulate you. He said, you pastor a church of 1,000, and he said, you are thinking so visionary for a church of 600. And he's like, you're going to be there in about 2 years. I was like, oh, okay. And I'm just, he goes, you're not getting it. He goes, you suck. Wow, okay. I just paid you how many $100 a month to tell me that? What he was showing me, though, was that I was leading as a reactionary leader, not a proactive leader. You want someone that's successful, that is helping guide the way, pulling you to go to the next level. Now, here's what's interesting. In my situation, it just so happened that the church that he's leading is bigger than my church. But I would not say that it would be limited to the size of the church. I know some guys that are unbelievably, they're superstar leaders, and they're pastoring small. They may have just taken a church. They may be growing something from a smaller size. So don't think they have to necessarily be bigger than you, but they need to know the way in a way that you do not know. They need to be able to say, hey, I have been down this path. Here's a pothole. Here's a pitfall. You better watch out for this. So someone that's successful. But then I would say this, an engaged listener. To me, this is one of the most important principles of having a coach. So Josh is in here. I love Josh. He's a dear friend. But I still can't share everything with Josh because I've got staff that's friends with his staff, and our circles are too tight. Like, I remember when I called and hired the coach, he's like, so what are you? I'm like, well, my background's Independent Baptist. He's like, all right, Independent Baptist. He's Googling. I'm like, don't Google that. Never mind, I'm just Baptist, you know. He didn't even know what we were. He knows nobody in my world. And that is wonderful. Like, that part is great because I am able to share. Like, and some days I just pick up the phone and call. I'm like, bro, I deal with a bunch of idiots, okay? I got idiot church members, and I'm just telling them what I feel. because he's an engaged listener. A great mentor asks far more questions, I believe, than he gives advice. There's something about if you want to expand someone's knowledge, talk to them, give them information. But if you want to deepen somebody, start asking strategic questions. Because that's what he does with me as an engaged listener. He listens to what I'm saying, he processes it, and then he turns around and asks me the tough questions that I need to be asked, the tough questions that I need to hear. As far as being engaged, good leaders ask good questions, understand the value of great questions, the value. So then here's another area, humility. No one wants to be taking lessons from a know-it-all. You know what I love about my coach that I have right now? He's like, all right, I talked to him a few months ago. We talk every 2 weeks, but on a conversation a couple of months ago. He said, I'm getting ready to save you $275,000. Because he made a $275,000 mistake. It was a pretty boneheaded mistake. And he's like, I'm going to save you that. See, the humility to be able to admit that, like none of us have arrived, right? None of us have got it figured out yet. We're all learning. So then I would say the next quality that you're looking for is influential. Is this guy, how much influence do they have? Are they reproducing themselves? If I'm going to have somebody speak into my life, I want to know that they're not only successful, there's not only a spirit of humility and perseverance and fully engaged as a listener, but I want to know, are they influential? What was it that John Maxwell says? If you think you're leading and you turn around and no one's following, you're just taking a walk. And that's so true, isn't it? If they're not reproducing themselves, boy, what would I want to have? Why would I want to have them be speaking into my life, okay? And then I think the last thing for a mentor is honest. And there ought to be a level of honesty and transparency. So a lot of you don't know this, but when I hired my coach, I was 70 pounds heavier than what I am right now. And one of the things I had to do was send him a preaching video. And he's like, all right, can I just speak some truth into your life? You've got to lose some weight. Ooh, that was tough to hear. Because I knew what a tough journey that was going to be. But see, he was able to speak truth into me in a way that helped push me for that honesty. That would be very hard for a deacon to come to the pastor and say that. It'd be very hard for a staff member to come to the pastor and say that. And I'll be honest with you, even if I weren't the lead pastor, I think that would be very hard even as a fellow staff member sometimes to speak that level of truth. Honest, being able to just share exactly what God has put on their heart. So we want to have plenty of time for questions and discussion here. So we've talked about what we're looking for in the mentor. Let's talk about what we're looking for in the mentee. This is something, is there a capacity to learn? I would ask you this, if you were going to come to me for coaching, one of the things that I would want to find out is how hungry are you? I mean, do you really want this? So are they teachable? Are they willing to pay the price? I've been in three different paid coaching networks where I have been the mentee, being mentored. In every single one of them, there has been outside work, books to read, places to go, things to do, people to talk to. I really want to encourage a lot of people. They want to sign up for the trip and they want to get to the destination, but they don't want to take the journey. As a mentee, I want to really encourage you before you engage, before you connect and say, I'm taking this trip, count the cost. Okay? So are you in a place that you can do this right now? Okay? I'm wanting to sharpen my skills in a different area. And I know right now I'm in a large building program. Until I get that done later this year, I have no more bandwidth for anything else. So I'm not taking on anything right now. Are you in that place that you can be teachable? Do you have that capacity to learn at that particular point in your life? I love, so sometimes younger pastors, I had a younger staff member, he didn't make it. Good guy, but he just, he wasn't teachable. And but he came into my office one day. He goes, I really would like to be where you are. He says, as a matter of fact, because he was about 15, 20 years younger than me, he said, I'm really eyeing when you retire one day. I think I might like to be the pastor of this church. I was like, well, this is pretty forward. I've already got my replacement here. And he said, I want to be where you are right now. And I said, I don't think you do. He goes, oh, I really do. I said, I don't doubt you want the position. I don't think you're willing to do what I've had to do to get here. Well, that is a realizing there is a price to pay. Okay? I don't know what leader you look up to, but I guarantee you they have paid a personal price to get where they are. And Josh, just thinking of Kurt last night, I mean, he's getting on a red eye and going back because he had a commitment this morning. And I'm sure he went on hardly any sleep. And
he's flying out of the country.
Yeah, yeah. And so are you willing to pay that price? Are you willing to pay the price to follow the steps that they've had to follow? So teachable. Let's talk about transparency and honesty. That works two ways. And so here's something that you have got to do if you're being mentored. Communicate with your mentor. Sometimes I've mentored a number of guys, and sometimes what I think is not spot on. I don't understand the full picture, and if they're not transparent and they're not honest with me and they do not provide feedback. So here's something that we very much value at our church that's very much part of our culture as staff is the ability or the permission to speak truth to power. You're going to view sometimes that mentor as a person of authority in your life to a certain extent. I believe having that open conversation before you ever get into that, that I have truth, you have truth to speak into my life, but I have truth to speak to authority, to speak to truthful transparency. I think that's something that is so foundational for everything that we're doing. If we don't have that. And so that has to be a trust factor in there, right? There has to be transparency. There has to be honesty. There has to be trust. And then I would say here just a couple other things very quickly, must prioritize. So are you ready? If you're going to get involved in coaching or being coached, being mentored, I want to encourage you. It is, I've seen very distinct two classes of people that I have coached or mentored. There is the group that they're hungry, they're ready, they're there, they can't wait for me. And they're 2 days out, they're texting me, are we still good to go on this date at this time? And then there's the other group that I'm texting them 3 days before and I can't get any answer. They don't respond. We're supposed to talk at 1 o'clock at this time and I call and they don't answer. They're not like, that is something that you're going to really hurt that relationship. You're going to put a strain on that relationship if you cannot make the commitment to really make this happen. So there has to be a prioritization in your life. Are you willing to take them or take time to learn and practice what your mentor teaches? Are you willing to become prepared with questions? And so at the level that I'm at with a paid coach right now, he doesn't come to me with an agenda at this point. I'm coming to him with 4 or 5 key strategic questions that I have thought of and oftentimes have emailed him 2 or 3 days in advance, a week in advance, so that he has time to process and help guide me through what needs to happen. So then know what you're looking for in a mentor. I would just say this. I put some, I believe in your notes, or there's some sample questions there. So those are some general questions, and those are not bad questions. Are they in your notes? I believe they are. Yeah. So those are not bad questions, but those are very general. I want to encourage you to dig deeper and know what you're looking for. And I think, Josh, this is something that's so incredible that the IDEA Network is doing. I don't know. I think the two things that makes this network unique is I know of no other place that you can get coaching that understands our type of church background. That is a huge, unique thing. So whether you are an independent Baptist, a recovering independent Baptist, or somewhere in between, however that fits you, and we're great with all of that, but you know, honestly, I just know when we hire staff, if they don't have any understanding of what our church background is, it doesn't mean they can't be hired. It just means there is a huge learning curve that they're going to have to, we're going to have to work through that because of where we were and where we are today. So I think the network understands that, and that's huge. But here's the other thing that is so unique. You are literally going to have the opportunity to select someone that knows their stuff and is able to help you in a way that nobody else can. So, like, you don't want me, you would not want to contact me for church planning. I've never planted a church. Literally, the smallest church I've ever worked in on staff is 400 people. So I don't understand the small church stuff. I don't understand how to plan a church. You would go broke real quick, right? You hired me to help you plan a church? I'm out. Go talk to Josh. He's done it, right? Church revitalization? I get that. That's the world that I live in, or this area. That's what this network is going to provide. I think that's going to be unique because you literally can just go select this mentor that has this expertise and this knowledge. And I would say if you're going to mentor somebody, be comfortable with what you know, but what is also equally as important is being comfortable with what you don't know, okay? I am definitely, I love speaking, I love to preach, but that is not my number one gift. Leadership is my number one gift. So every pastor fits into a category. There's pastors that live to preach and have to lead. There's other pastors that live to lead and have to preach, and that's who I am. I still love preaching, not afraid to do it. But I'll be honest with you, you probably don't want to come to me to get mentored on how to have the best sermons in the world, okay? That's not my gift. But I can bring leadership. So I know what I'm comfortable with, but I know what I'm comfortable not coaching and mentoring in as well. And I think, Josh, that is the genius behind what's being set up here. Is we have got a group of mentors that know their strengths but know their weaknesses as well. All right, I'm getting really wound up now, and we need to get to the place where we can finish this up. Realistic expectations. So here's why I put this here. Here's something that I've noticed. I've been guilty of it as a mentee. But now as a mentor, I have seen this happen a lot. I have mentees, and I've done it myself. They want it, but they want it on their terms when they want it. So let me give you an example. I tried to help somebody here a couple of years ago, and we would set up a time. And I mean, it was just almost inevitable. Every time we almost got to that point, he would call and cancel. Something came up. He wasn't able to do it. But then 2 days later, he'd be like, hey, bro, I got 30 minutes. Can we talk? Okay, understand this. Most mentors, hopefully, if you're following these guidelines, they're successful people, right? Can I just let you in on a hint? Successful people are busy people. And so you have to understand that the realistic expectation is they are making a huge commitment and a huge sacrifice to pour into your life. Respect that and have realistic expectations. And that also means understand that sometimes they're going to have to cancel because something happens in their ministry outside of their control. Last week, I preached 3 funerals in a 6-day period. Well, that wreaked havoc on my schedule that whole week because I was running around preaching funerals everywhere that week. So I have realistic expectations. And I think there's one other thing here. Understand that you own the relationship and the investment. So that is why there is a fee to what is being introduced, because we want you to have that buy-in. We want you to see it as an investment. Nothing that is worth having is free. Contrary to what is being tossed around in our culture, there is no free lunches. Everything costs something. And you get out of something what you put into it. That is why there is a cost being built in to what we're doing here. But I think you're going to find the cost be a very affordable cost, but that's why it's not just free. And so what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So these are some of the things that I believe are very important as expectations and essentials in mentorship. But how do you see that? What does that look like for you? And what have you experienced? And do you agree with this or disagree? And why? So it's your turn to talk now. I've talked. It's your turn. I'm going to turn this off now, right? Yep.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.